Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
What a weekend for the NFL, and we saw two of the finest young quarterbacks in the league, the two finest young quarterbacks in the league. Pat Mahomes returns from injury and puts up numbers against the Minnesota. They lost to the Titans, the Tennessee Titans. It wasn't Mahomes' fault.
Don't stop with that.
Right away, Chris. Can I read the numbers?
Wait a minute.
36 for 50, 446 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. His special teams and his defense failed him.
Chris.
He was outstanding.
Chris.
Period.
It's a short menu, Chris Broussard. That's all he said.
You haven't said that in 5 weeks you've been touting Aaron Rodgers' horn.
Because when Aaron Rodgers loses, you don't want to hear about anything else. And my point is, Mahomes now, Mahomes boy, whatever Shannon calls him, Mahomes boy, has now, when he's quarterback, they lost 3 in a row. They won with Matt Moore. They've lost 3 in a row.
Are you trying to argue Matt Moore is better than
Patrick? No, I'm not. Okay. I'm just telling you the result.
And I don't even know why you bring that up.
Has he lost 3 games in a row since at quarterback?
He didn't play 3.
Well,
he came in.
The last 3 games. The last 3 games he's been quarterback.
If you're going to say it with your chest. Matt Moore should be starting?
All I'm saying
Matt
is.
Matt Moore should be starting over Pat Mahomes? Are you really about to say that?
All I'm saying is.
I think so.
This ain't the year you were talking about and you thought it was going to be. That's all I'm saying.
He's got 18 touchdowns. He might reach 40.
You want to bet on that?
No, but I'm just saying.
We already have a bet on that.
With the injuries. No, the bet's off because he got injured. He got hurt.
You said he still could reach 40. Why would the bet be off, Chris?
He still could. I'm not saying definitively.
I'm saying let's keep the bet on.
Had he not missed the game.
If he gets to 40, you would win the bet.
Let me get to the next point. The other youngster who was wildly impressive, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is doing it week after week after week. And he had another tremendous game. Ran rush. Now, granted, it was Bengals?
Bengals are terrible. They scored 49 points.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you're supposed to do that to the Bengals, of course. But his numbers: 15 for 17, 223 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, 7 carries for 65 yards. And another perfect passer waiting. Let me give you a few numbers just historically with what Lamar Jackson is doing. He joins Aaron Rodgers and Joe Montana, who Rob thinks is the GOAT, and there's certainly an argument for him, as the only players ever, or at least in the Super Bowl era, to record 3 touchdown passes, 1 rushing touchdown, and a perfect passer rating with at least 15 completions in a game.
So only 3 guys have done that. Let me see. A-Raj, the GOAT, Joe Montana, and now Lamar Jackson?
Yes. Yes.
I got the hair on the back of my neck just stood up. Yes.
I know. You need a cigarette.
I need a cigarette.
Now let me give you a few.
I mean, wait a minute. Where's Tom Brady? Where is your GOAT? Where's the one who has the GOAT cleats? Where's Brady?
You know why Brady's not in there?
You know
why he's not in there?
I got it.
Because Tom Brady believes there's a short menu.
Don't get off your short menu now. Now all of a sudden, there's no Tom Brady in that list. Isn't that interesting?
So what does that mean?
I'm just telling you.
What are you saying?
It ain't just about winning championships, which tells you how great you are.
It's not like he doesn't put up numbers either.
No, but I'm just telling you, Brady ain't that guy. To match up with Aaron Rodgers.
Brady's not that guy.
I already told you.
Most of the football world believes he's the GOAT.
They're just going off of winning Super Bowls. It's not all Brady.
His numbers are great,
Brady's won 3 Super Bowls with 1 touchdown.
Great too.
3. I think it's
his
three.
His numbers are great.
Unbelievable.
Too. And all when right. you gave him a legitimate number one receiver, Randy Moss.
They lost in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I remember
but
that.
He lit it up that regular season. Let me
just
get back
going.
To making the point. All right, now, Lamar Jackson has now started 16 regular season games. Obviously, that's a season's worth now. His numbers in those games, 63% completion percentage, not bad. 3,150 passing yards, not bad. That's 7.5 yards per pass. 20 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Here's what's really impressive.
That's not that great.
No. 225 carries, 1,258 rushing yards, and 10 rushing TDs. Now, hear this. In his first 16 career starts, he has more wins than Pat Mahomes. 13 to Mahomes is 12. He has more rushing yards than LaDainian Tomlinson, one of the best to ever carry
that's
a man.
That's shocking right
that,
there.
Yeah.
That's a shocking stat.
I couldn't believe it.
I'm blown away by
his passer rating, you'll like this, is higher than Tom Brady's.
No shocker, because Brady ain't that guy
his
like that.
His average yards per attempt, say that now.
Tom Brady.
His average yards per attempt higher than Aaron Rodgers. Go ahead. Say something. Say something.
My mic.
Yeah, all right.
Off. Hello?
His completion percentage better than Drew Brees'. So we're just saying that this guy is off to a fabulous start. And, Rob, I want to ask you this, because people are saying it about both of them, that Mahomes is the future of the quarterback position or Lamar Jackson is the future of the quarterback position. I love Lamar and what he's doing. But I'm going with Mahomes because how often are we going to see somebody like Lamar Jackson who can run it like a running back, a tailback, and throw it like a legitimate quarterback? Michael Vick was a great runner, but didn't pass it as well.
Well, he had a strong arm. I mean,
he had a strong arm, but I don't think he was as accurate as Jackson.
Because even Lamar sometimes isn't the most accurate.
Now, granted, he had that. This is similar to the year Vic had with Philadelphia.
Vic had an unbelievable year.
When he was
right.
his first year there under full season under Andy Reid. Like, he was fantastic, but that was his best season by far.
Yeah. I you know what? I think I would pick Lamar Jackson from this standpoint. I think a guy like Mahomes is more of a I know you say, well, because he's not running, but it's what he's doing and his arm and whatnot. You don't have guys don't come around that often. He's like a rare breed where I think there's more of a chance of a guy being a good passer, not the greatest, not the strongest arm, right? I'm talking about like those things and adding the mix of being able to run a little bit. We've seen a number of guys come along more so than a Mahomes who's closer to an Aaron Rodgers. With the big
arm. Aaron Rodgers, Marino, those
yeah,
guys.
Like yeah. those guys. Think about this, Chris. And they're not, obviously, they didn't all pan out. But we saw Michael Vick. We saw RG3.
That's the thing. Neither one of them.
They didn't last. They didn't last. Vick had a long enough career.
Yeah, solid
Who's the other
career.
Guy I'm thinking about from Texas?
Well, you had Randall Cunningham.
But from Texas. Vince Young. Right, it didn't pan out.
None of them have panned out.
No,
right.
But I'm saying, but we keep seeing more of those guys.
But we've seen those guys. Remember,
I'm not saying
a lot of black
new.
Quarterbacks were like that
yeah.
in college.
I'm not saying
that didn't get a chance yeah. in the NFL. The thing that surprises me the most, and hopefully it stays this way, I wasn't so much in the group that said Jackson can't be a really good NFL quarterback. I was in the group that was like, you can't run that much.
How about
stay healthy?
No, I know you said that, and that was your biggest point. But don't forget, go back and look at these former GMs and these football analysts who said he should try out for wide receiver.
Yeah.
You remember we had
Bill Polian
just had an apology and just apologized. And if you remember, I remember us talking about that, and I said I would not try out. I would be insulted if they asked me. To be a wide receiver and go. You remember that about, hey,
yeah,
go.
And he took that stand.
Well, and he should have.
I give him credit for that.
Do you remember that?
I didn't think it was so much insulting.
Oh, I did.
As I just thought.
I remember you wanted him to take, at least go and see if you can make the, or at least try it out. I was against it.
I just didn't feel like it was, you know, and it's because we'd never seen a guy play the quarterback position like him and stay healthy. Now, I would have, again, I would have disagreed with those who said he doesn't have the tools to try to be a quarterback. But my thing was just that you're going to get broken up. No, and he still may. I mean,
no, right.
You know, it's a long,
it's
like
a long
Cam,
right.
If you play this way, I think he could have, and stays healthy, he could have a nice 8, 9, 10-year run.
But
you won't be playing 16 years
but,
like this.
But I think that people were too quick because of his athleticism to want him to go to play another position. And that's what they used to do to black quarterbacks.
Did you think
all
it was racial in this? I didn't think it was racial in this.
No, I just.
Because we got a lot of black quarterbacks.
Right. No, but I'm just saying because of his other attributes.
He has a special athleticism.
Right. And so they look at that and go, oh, man, imagine if he was a wide receiver.
Right.
What he would do. But that guy refused to do that.
No,
Tony Dungy was a quarterback in college, and they made him play DB in the NFL.
Charlie Ward never got a shot. Tony Dungy told us he thought Charlie Ward could have been a great.
Yeah.
That's all-time great.
So that's happened before.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rob Parker, big game Sunday night. Minnesota goes into Dallas. I'm going to give them credit. And beat the Cowboys 28-24. And now, of course, today, everybody's been playing the blame game. Who do you blame? Most people are putting it on Jason Garrett, the head coach. And I agree. I didn't like the play calling. I get that Kellen Moore's the play caller, but you're the head coach. You can say something about that. And late in the game, couple straight plays, they went to Ezekiel Elliott, who had not been running the ball well, 20 carries, 47 yards.
I was curious. Weren't you shocked? That was a first guess about some of the calls.
Yes,
right?
Some of the play calls were. Right. And then the fourth down call that, you know, at the end of the game where they go to Zeke on an out pattern, about a 5-yard, 6-yard out pattern, incomplete pass that ends their hopes. So I thought the play calling was shaky. I thought Dak Prescott, Rob, was great. Great. And his numbers bear that out, but it wasn't just about the numbers. He's 28
for 46.
28 for 46
means that he almost missed 20 passes. How's that great, Chris?
397 yards, three touchdowns.
Did you read that again?
The way he marched, 28 for 46.
28 for 46, that's 18 missed throws? How is that great? That's not a great percentage ratio. Yes, I did. I watched every minute of it.
Was he not great?
I'm asking you.
In marching that team up and down the field.
But I'm asking you, he missed a lot of throws.
Because of Dak Prescott.
I just can't call a great performance when you almost missed 20 completions.
What percentage is that, Rob G? Check that out.
Check that out. It's a terrible percentage.
No, it's not terrible.
Yes, it is. You almost missed 20 incompletions.
It's 60%, or right around 60%. Rob G will have the math for us quickly. He had an 87.5 QBR. He was, if you watch that game, they did not lose that game because Dak
wasn't
accurate.
Chris,
Dak was picking their defense apart.
The reason that they
at 61%.
The reason that they threw the football. I mean, went to Ezekiel Elliott is they don't have trust in him at the end. Why are they doing that? It would make no sense. You have a running back who's not performing. And instead of letting Dak do his magic when it matters most, they didn't do that. They don't trust him enough. That's why he doesn't have a deal. That's why the only way that guy wins is everything has to be perfect for him for them to win. You're telling me he had a beautiful day. He was great. They lost. How did they lose, Chris, if he was so great?
I'm not going to be like you. And when Aaron Rodgers lost, but there was a tip pass. He almost
I'm not making
did this.
It.
He almost, no.
Whose voice was that? Was that me?
That was your voice. Dak Prescott, anybody that watched that game.
I watched it.
Did not, other than you who are biased.
I'm not biased.
You look for reasons to hate. You turned it on, writing notes down about how you could hate on Dak Prescott.
No, I don't.
Dak Prescott was fine yesterday. I've actually said he's not Pat Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers.
Who is
he's
he?
He's not Dan Marino. But he is a guy that's a great leader. He's a winner. He's smart. He's got the locker room in the palm of his hand.
Too bad they don't win for him.
He's a playmaker.
Last night was a game that they should have won.
He's a playmaker.
The Vikings haven't beaten anybody. A good team.
No, they just beat somebody that's good.
Who?
Dallas.
Dallas isn't good.
Well, then what does that make Philadelphia, who they own?
Philadelphia is better.
Dak has won his last four games against the Eagles. So for all of you who are jumping off the Cowboys bandwagon, for all of you who are saying they're in trouble of missing the playoffs, no, they're not, because their division.
Rob
they
G.
own their division. And they own Rob Parker's Philadelphia Eagles. He has won his last four games against the
Eagles.
They're
not going to beat him this time.
If I have to bet on Carson Wentzelvania.
Wentz in a lifetime.
Nah, it's not Wentz in a lifetime. It's Wentzelvania. Wentz in a lifetime. Like, once in a lifetime he'll beat Dallas? How about that? If I have to bet on him or Dak, I'm picking Dak every time.
All right, so here it is. Rob G., can you pull up?
Can I get a little offense? Help? And let me – I've talked about Jason Garrett's shaky play calling. And I love it. I went into the season saying he's the best running back in the league. He has not been the best running back this year.
His numbers are pretty good, aren't they? I thought Rob G., where are they?
47 yards.
No, not in that game. I don't like that. But I'm talking about for the season.
He didn't have the burst.
Where's he for the season? They aren't as bad as it looks.
And when I was watching Dalvin Cook opposite him yesterday, it looked like a guy was playing a different game. Where's the burst?
He has 788 yards and 6 touchdowns. Remember,
no, he's having a decent year.
He's having a good year.
He's not having an Ezekiel Elliott type year.
Well, here.
He's not in the top 5 in rushing, Rob Parker.
He's going to get 1,400 yards. That's a bad year.
We'll see if he gets 14.
Why not? 788 at the halfway point, right?
First of all, we're not at the halfway point.
All right,
one
game over.
One game past.
All right, so here's my point. Rob G., if you look at
numbers, how does 788 yards in 9 games translate to 1,400 yards rushing?
It is.
What kind of math were they teaching you at PS 97?
No, PS 116 in Queens.
Anytime it's got a number, I'm questioning it. Give me a name.
What you got?
Make it Harriet Tubman Elementary School.
Hang on.
Frederick Douglass Institute of Education or something like that.
150.
Go ahead,
Rob.
Let me help Rob Parker.
Yes, here we go.
Based on what his yards per game is, you know what? How much he'll end at the season? 16 games, Chris? Exactly 1,400 yards.
Exactly. What is your math where they taught you in the cornfields of Ohio? You didn't even know what you were doing.
He's getting 87 and a half yards a game.
The only thing Chris knows how to count is bushels
He's
of hay.
He's seventh in the league in rushing. Not bad. But did he look the same to you yesterday?
I said he had a bad game last night.
Well, it was a bad time to have a bad game. I needed more. Dak needed more. That's why Skip Bayless threw away his jersey. Did you see that?
I saw that on Instagram. On the gram. He took the jersey and threw it into his garbage can.
Dak got no help from his great running back. And I still am Ezekiel Elliott fan.
All right, this is my point.
But he's not looking like the best running back in the league. That's all the brothers
Rob saying. Rob G., one last thing. Please help me out. After their 3-0 start against 3 Cupcakes, can you go down the Cowboys' teams that they've played and what they've done?
Well, they beat Philadelphia. How about that? We can just end it there. That's
we don't have
team.
To end it. We don't have
I'm
to end
surprised
it there.
They aren't in your power rankings.
Did they lose to the Jetropolitans? Can we go through it? Go ahead. They were 3-0, blown away.
You think the Jets are good? You're the one person on planet Earth
did
that thinks
them,
the Jets are good.
Did you see them beat the Giants this week?
Yeah, okay. The Giants. You thought they were going to make the playoffs. How in the world did that just overrides your
you
World
said the,
Series
you
victory?
You said the Browns are going to make the playoffs.
Your basketball prediction.
What?
The fact that you said the Jets are going to make the playoffs. The Browns have life.
Are they going to make the playoffs?
They might.
No, I'm asking you, are they yes or no,
yes.
Chris Broussard?
I'm sticking with my prediction.
Okay,
you going to stick with yours? Are the Jets going to make the playoffs?
They got a chance. They're not out of the mix.
They are out of it,
hey,
buddy.
Rob G., the AFC is wide open. They're only 2 games out of the playoffs. All they got to do is get a streak going. Can you give me the Cowboys?
They're 2-7, dude.
What? They're not out of it.
They can run the table.
They can run the table and be 9-7. They got a team with 8-8 record in the AFC could make the playoffs. How are you going to tell me the Steelers are what? What are the Steelers? 5-4 or 5-4?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
No, it ain't. It's only two game difference.
That's 3 games.
All right, whatever. Rob G., can you give me that real quick?
after that 3-0 start, they lost at New Orleans.
Okay, good team. Good team. Good team.
They lost at home to the Packers.
Another good team. They lost another good team.
And then they lost at the Jetropolitans.
All right, a terrible team, and they lost that. There's three.
They beat the Eagles at home.
How about that?
It was about time. They were due for it.
They beat the Eagles four straight.
Beat the Giants on the road.
Easy piece of cake, another cupcake win.
It's a division rivalry.
Lost at home to the Vikings.
Anything can happen in a division rivalry.
They're three toughest games. They lost all of them.
No, the Eagles was a tough game. Rivalry, division rivalry, plus a pretty decent team. Talented.
All right. So here's the question. Who should most of the blame go to when you look at where the Cowboys are?
Jason Garrett.
So is it Jason Garrett? That would be your pick. Is it Ezekiel Elliott, who some people say the holdout got the Cowboys, even though they won the first three games, Chris?
Yeah, I'm not going to put the blame on Zeke. He doesn't look. All right. Does he look as good to you?
Or is it Dak Prescott, who has struggled?
He's not struggling.
He struggled, yes.
Struggling.
You can use after the first three games.
You can use your Joe Namath voice all you want. He's struggling.
After the first three games, he looked like world beaters. Chris wanted to sign him to the big contract. You remember that, Chris? He's on his way to an elite. He's on his way to be an elite. Okay. If I'm the Cowboys, I would sign him to a big contract.
Let me tell you something. One of the greatest statistics that analytics has brought us, QBR.
No, I'm not buying QBR.
QBR gets rid of all of the nonsense.
It's questionable.
Right? It gets rid of all of the nonsense and shows you who's really playing the position well. Guess who's first in the league in QBR? And it's not Dak. It's Russell Wilson. But who's second? Dak. And he's only a tenth of a point behind Russell Wilson. Second in the league in QBR. Aaron Rodgers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15th. The man you think is MVP is 15th in the league in QBR.
What's Aaron Jones'
Dak
QBR?
Dak Prescott is second.
What's Aaron Jones?
So save it.
I'm not. What's Aaron
Jones? He's not a quarterback, but in case you didn't know.
I do know that, but I'm just saying I'm trying to make
Jones
the point.
Aaron Jones is carrying y'all.
No, he's not carrying. He's had an unbelievable year. There's no doubt about it.
He has had a great year. But that's all I'm saying. Don't give me all this Dak can't do this, Dak can't do that.
Dak can.
Dak
ain't the track.
Dak is third in the league in yards per game.
They're 5-4, Chris. They're struggling to make the playoffs. Stop with the Dak. They should be better than that.
Can you beat some
good team for a change?
Yeah, they beat
They couldn't
Eagles.
Beat the Vikings. They couldn't beat the Packers. They couldn't beat the Saints. The Saints beat them without even scoring a touchdown. That's your Dak Prescott and your damn QBR? Screw that QBR, Chris. I'm not buying into it.
What's your answer? Who's to blame? Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott?
Dak Prescott is my answer.
How?
I just told you.
Jason Garrett's not to blame?
Dak Prescott should have been able to beat the Saints without Drew Brees and without them scoring a touchdown. He should have been able to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers since it's all about Aaron Jones and has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. He should have been able to beat the New York Jetropolitans on the road coming off a bye when they needed a win. Terrible.
I can't believe you said that answer on national radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You like to talk about your picks, your predictions. If I say it, it's coming true. If I put it out there, it's coming to pass. Bank on it.
Come on, man. I'm
My
killing the game.
My picks are so good, I need a cigarette afterwards. Well, I predicted that the Los Angeles Rams would miss the playoffs. And you mocked me.
I did. Mock.
And then after they started 3-0, you stuck out your chest. How could you do that, Chris? You were crazy. What were you thinking? But now, after the Rams have lost four of their last six games, including yesterday's debacle against the Pittsburgh Steelers, They fall 17-12. Their offense fails to score a touchdown.
And that was a debacle. That was bad. Watch that.
Yes. I am feeling good about my pick, and I am wondering what in the world has happened to Sean McVay.
His name is Bill Belichick. Did you watch the Super Bowl? Did you watch that when basically he was undressed by Bill Belichick? Remember, the third or fourth highest rated offense in the history of the National Football League.
He was the genius.
He's
right?
The genius behind it. You know what they got? They got 189-yard field goal. If it wasn't for 89. That, you know what I mean? It was like almost a 60-yard field goal. That's all they got in the Super Bowl. And remember, what did the Patriots score? 13?
13-3.
That they only scored 13. If you would have told me before the Super Bowl, Chris, that the New England Patriots would score 13 points, I would tell you that the Rams were going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, especially remember last year, that game between the Chiefs and the Rams?
Yes.
What was it, 54-49, something
or whatever.
Like
it was
that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great game at the Coliseum.
This is the NFL. These coaches are tremendous, or they have some tremendous coaches, and they figure you out. They figure you out. That's why we've talked about holding the phones
on people,
on Lamar Jackson and others.
Because we saw it with
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick. You know this, Chris. The first couple of years, unstoppable.
Yep. Yep.
Remember that? They couldn't defend him.
The Wildcat offense. You know, they figure you out. And if you can't adjust to their adjustments, then you can get exposed. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Sean McVay is not a good coach.
I'm not going to sit here and say
he should be on the hot seat. He's what he's done in his first, 3 years, 2.5 years now, deserves to give him a lot of time and a lot of leash. Wouldn't you say that?
Absolutely.
That was a horrible team when he got here. He turned Jared Goff into a $100 million man, and he's done a great job. But
what's
now,
his record? 29-12, Chris, since he took over.
Yeah.
In the regular season.
He deserves a long leash. So anybody talking about he should be on the hot seat, I think that's ridiculous. However, he has really struggled lately. I mentioned that they've lost 4 of their last 6. They looking like, at least right now, they would be on the outside of the playoffs looking
in. They're still in the hunt, but I hear you.
Jared Goff has fallen off the cliff. We had Rod Woodson on, or not Rod, Daryl Johnson talking earlier. I do think a lot of it has to do with the diminishment of Todd Gurley.
No, he was a guy who needed
the
decline, Todd Gurley.
Right.
Yeah,
Todd Gurley was the focal point of that offense.
And it opens up everything else. You got to respect Todd Gurley enough to that he knows they're not coming for him because if he hands the ball off to him, he's gone.
Yep.
So you just can't rush the passer and have Todd Gurley run past you.
He was a big receiver, too. And a lot of what they did was based off the play action. And when Gurley's dangerous, you got to respect that. But now that Gurley is struggling, you see that Goff cannot carry you. And I'm wondering about some of the calls with McVay. Rob, yesterday, the call to put Blake Bortles in on 3rd and 2. Now,
Daryl
Johnson
said that it was because of the injury.
It was because of the injury. But after the game, now, maybe they were just didn't want to talk about Goff's injury because it didn't turn out to be anything serious. But after the game, Sean McVay said that was the plan, that we have that play for Bortles.
Well,
in
then that's
offense.
Different than that. Ain't he could have just said we had no choice. Goff landed on his hip. We wanted to make sure he was okay before putting him. No, if he says that's a play that they worked on with Blake Bortles, then shame on them.
And then the next play, it got even worse when they run a fake punt with Johnny Hecker. The problem is Hecker was lined up basically in the shotgun. Like, he was not close to where he normally is as a punter. If we could see that this was a fake, how in the world could the opponent not see that? The Steelers, who are playing tremendously on defense. So it was bizarre. Again, I'll chalk it up as one bad game for him. He's had a bad year. But that was an exceedingly bad game.
See, I think you're right. And you got to look at that. And there was coaching stuff you could point to and just question. But I do, when I say this, I'm saying it with all seriousness. is that people start looking at you, and we, like I said, that Super Bowl to me was the turning point because it hasn't been pretty.
He did undress him.
And even when you look at Jared Goff, we looked at the numbers earlier, Chris. We talked about it. His last 16 games, 17 touchdowns, 16 picks, and what we got, 16 fumbles?
16 fumbles. Now, obviously, I mean, they didn't lose all
no,
of them.
No, no, no.
That's unbelievable.
Those are terrible numbers for the last 16 games.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and they just don't look like the same team. I mean, not even a year ago, they were in the Super Bowl. They were looking like they had revolutionized the game of football.
And it was going to be more than just a one-shot deal of going. Like, they had something, you know what I mean? Like, people were like, have to go through the Rams for the next few years.
And they've
got Aaron Donald on defense, all the stuff that they have.
Yep. Now it's very questionable, some of the moves they've made. Goff, the highest paid quarterback in the league, and he's not one of those guys that can just go and win a game for you.
You think they want that money back if they could?
I know they do. Todd Gurley. I always thought it was premature to give him that deal. And I'm glad for him that he got paid, especially being a running back, because they are undervalued now. But when they gave him that deal, he still had plenty of time left on his rookie contract. They did not have to give him that four-year, $60 million deal. And they did. And now you see that, I mean, that is one of, you know, a $60 million that's not huge in the NFL.
But here's the other one. Here's probably the most damaging when you think about it, Chris. In four of their nine games, they haven't given Gurley the ball in the fourth quarter. What is that? Do you hear what I said?
That's crazy.
Four of the nine, he hasn't touched the football in the fourth quarter.
Well, yesterday when he was asked, that was one of the games, he said, I'm used to it by now.
Yeah.
So, and yesterday, I get it. It doesn't look like he's the same player. But yesterday, he actually ran the ball well. Like, if there was a day to give it to him in the fourth quarter, it was yesterday. He had 12 carries for 73 yards. He had a 22-yard run. He was working yesterday. Looked like, I mean, I think his knee is one of those situations with the tendonitis where you just don't know from week to week if he's going to have it. He had it yesterday. And they didn't utilize him. If you're utilized, he didn't even play, Rob G, am I correct? He didn't even play in the first two series of the fourth quarter. What is going on? And McVay said that was our rotation.
That's your rotation?
You have to be able to read the game. I get it if that's your rotation and Gurley's averaging 3 yards a carry. But on a game, on a day in which he's giving you 6 yards a pop, in a day in which he's run for 22 yards and your quarterback is struggling, screw your rotation. That's when you need to be able to make adjustments in a game that was only 14-10. It can't all be scripted beforehand. I get it. You script your first 15 plays or so. But after that, you need to be able to make adjustments. He couldn't adjust to Belichick in the Super Bowl, to your point.
Right.
And it looks like he hasn't really adjusted since then.
And you have to be able to adjust. You just have to, because you will get killed in this league. You know that. Once they find out what works against you, what do you think they do? Everybody's going to come at you with the same game plan until you prove that you can beat them out of it.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Rob, how big of a, if indeed, because they're not out of it. They still may get in the playoffs.
No, they're not out of it.
But if indeed they fail to make the playoffs, how big of a disappointment do you think this is?
That would be huge.
How big of a failure? I mean, this is the NFL where, I mean, the 49ers were, what, 4-12 last year? Now they're the last undefeated team. So it's a league where Carolina, even with Cam at his best, never had back-to-back winning seasons. It's that type of league. So do you think it would really be that big of a failure if they don't make the playoffs?
I think it would be. And the scary part is, think about this. Could they be the next Atlanta Falcons? Look at where they've gone, Chris. They were in the Super Bowl. They were up 28-3. They were supposed to win that Super Bowl. They didn't win it. Look at them.
It's a done deal in Atlanta. Stick a fork in them.
Nah, that's a good
They're
point.
They're done.
That's
They're
a good
not
point.
Winning any. What are they winning in Atlanta? You got Julio Jones. You still got Matty Ice, who's melted over the last couple of years. Right?
Devontae Freeman got all
they
that
got,
money.
They got talent. Yep. And yep. where are they with the money? The money aspect.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
Here are, this is not good news. Here's the Rams' remaining schedule. The Bears. That's far from a gimme. You can talk about the Bears not living up to expectations. You can talk about Mitch Trubisky all you want. That's going to be a tough one, even though it's in L.A. Then you got the Ravens. Obviously a tough game. Still in L.A., so maybe that'll help them out. You go to Arizona, you'd figure that's a game you should win. I mean, Kyler Murray's doing okay, but still. You should be able to beat the Cardinals. Then you got the Seahawks, who obviously are a tough team. Then the Cowboys, who will be playing for dear life at that point in the season. And then the 49ers and the Cardinals again. I mean, that could be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, those are 5 tough games out of 7, and you got the Cardinals in the other 2. So this is tough. This is going to be interesting.